I will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is April 19th, 2021. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take the attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen is present. Wasdewick.
Wasdewick present.
Heitzman.
Heitzman present.
Akom.
Akom present.
Acklin.
Acklin present.
Backer.
Becker present.
Becker Finn.
Becker Finn present.
Acklin.
Acklin present.
Fisher.
Fisher present.
Green.
Green present.
Igo.
Present.
Jordan.
Jordan present.
Keeler.
Keeler present.
Lee. Lippert.
Lippert present.
Lewick.
Lewick present.
Morrison.
Morrison present.
Nelson.
Nelson present.
Tice.
Tice present.
One last call for Lee. All right, quorum is present.
Quorum is present. The next item on the agenda are the minutes for Monday, April 12, 2021. Representative Heinzman, would you like to move the minutes? Don't hear Representative Heinzman. Representative Lippert, would you like to move the minutes?
I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lippert moves the minutes for April 12, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The minutes are approved. Members, we have a very quick timeline today, but with very important information. The University of Minnesota has received funding through this committee and the LCCMR in the past and has some exciting information to present. We have allocated till 8:42 for Dr. Larson to present information on prions and chronic wasting disease. Dr. Larson, if you could introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Dr. Peter Larson, assistant professor at the University of Minnesota. Chair Hansen, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. I am, in addition to being an assistant professor, I'm also co-director of MinPro, the Minnesota Center for Prion Research and Outreach at the University of Minnesota. I'm joined today by Dr. Tiffany Wolf, co-director of MinPro, and Mark Schwabenlander, associate director and program manager of MinPro. PhD students who are supported by funding from this committee and LCCMR are Peter Christensen and Mancy Lee, who have played a significant role in the research I'm about to share with you, and they have also joined the meeting. I'm very excited to share our latest research efforts with the committee and the broader public. Very quick background on chronic wasting disease. This disease is a direct threat to Minnesota's white-tailed deer, elk, and moose populations. It is caused by a misfolded infectious prion protein, and CWD-positive deer can pass that prion to other deer, and they can also shed those prions into the environment where they can remain infectious for years. This disease poses a multiple economic risk to the state across multiple sectors and across the United States. It requires an immediate and intense research and outreach effort, hence the forming of MinPro, and we really must do all that we can to protect the rich heritage surrounding the cervids of the state and North America. I'm going to use an analogy here that it will help place what I'm about to share with you in context. We are at war. We are at war with an infectious prion protein. When you're at war, you have to have an accurate view of the battlefield. Our enemy is this misfolded prion protein. Our current diagnostic tests do not provide an accurate view of that battlefield. So in order to effectively fight the war against CWD, we have to have better diagnostic tools that can provide a real-time view of the war that we're fighting against these infectious prion proteins. Current diagnostic tests are a year or two behind the enemy. This is why our team was granted funds to develop new diagnostic tools, and I will focus that those diagnostic tools during today's hearing. MinPro began its grassroots effort back in 2019. We were awarded $2 million collectively by the state through this committee and LCCMR, but also through the Experiment Station Rapid Egg Response Funds. And the goal of those funds was to develop more sensitive, accurate diagnostic tests. The committee may recall that we gave an update back in September, I believe, on a major milestone that was reached in January 2020, quite literally right before the pandemic hit. This milestone was the capability of RT-QuIC. RT-QuIC is this really amazing test that has been developed recently showing use for CWD for CWD diagnostics. This test, you can think of it like a PCR for prion proteins. PCR is in the news a lot now because of COVID. Think of this test as a really highly sensitive PCR test, but to detect infectious prion proteins. The developer of the test was recently quoted that it can detect the equivalent of up to one tablespoon of CWD prions in 400 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's how sensitive this test is. What's really important is that it can be used for live animals, harvested animals, and also environmental samples. There's some photos on the right there of how we're using this test in our lab. MinPro Lab is the only lab in the state with RT-QuIC functionality, thanks to the funds secured provided by the state. We have protocols right now in our main lab that can be used for tissues, lymph nodes, brain, but also muscle, blood, feces. So we have antemortem capacity, also water, plants, and we're getting a soil assay up and running by working through collaborators this summer. We are assisting the USDA with official validation of RT-QuIC. One major hurdle to RT-QuIC that was faced by those laboratories that have this functionality was the production of the reagents used for the test. We learned at the University of Minnesota that we have the resources within the university to mass produce the reagents. And so we know that we can produce enough reagents to help establish a national RT-QuIC surveillance network. And our collaboration with USDA is to provide the reagents so they can validate it. And so that was a major development over the last year. And so we're working to establish a national RT-QuIC network. We are working very closely with the DNR, and I want to say thank you to Dr. Michelle Carstensen and all the assistance the DNR has provided. We quite literally, our biorepository MinPro now has over 6,000, maybe 7,000 tissues from over 7,000 white-tailed deer, thanks to the DNR, and that is an amazing resource. You may recall that Dr. Carstensen envisioned this very elegant and brilliant study of a blinded test. If they provided us tissues from over 500 animals, with just 12 positive mixed in with that within the 500, can we identify the 12 with no other information, blinded? The answer is yes. We were able to do that 100% using the same tissues that the DNR used for their traditional tests, ELISA and IHC. We also identified 4 potential positives that were missed by these other methods, ELISA and IHC. I've talked a lot about those tests in the past. They're limited. They're the ones that do not provide an accurate view of that battlefield against this prion. This test or this study is described in a manuscript that I shared with the committee. It's currently in review in a peer-reviewed journal. I've shared the draft with the committee. Here is a figure that helps explain or show how sensitive or how accurate this test is. This gob of data points here, this is over 3,165 data points. These are all positive lymph nodes, and over here are also our negative RT-QuIC results. This isn't even on the same scale. They are very well separated. Chair Hansen, should I field questions now or save those for after?
Keep going.
Okay. So this test can be used for multiple tissue types. We've shown in this analysis that a combination of tonsils, several different lymph nodes, that combination may be more effective at identifying positives than just retropharyngeal lymph nodes alone. This is a really major and important development, and again, described in that manuscript. It's really important to understand the RT-QuIC. It's still in a research phase with the DNR, right? MinPro, we would need to have additional staff, equipment, lab space, to be able to expand the testing capacity. This is not a test that's going to be up and running or available next hunting season, or maybe even the hunting season after that. What we need is, you know, additional resources to be able to expand RT-QuIC capacity. We're also helping to establish self-sustaining tribal CWB surveillance network in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. And this was put in place largely because of the efforts of Dr. Tiffany Wolf and Mark Schwabenlander over the last year. They've worked with six Minnesota tribes plus the 1854 Treaty Authority to secure tissues, right, from deer on tribal lands so that we can help test those using both traditional diagnostics and RT-QuIC. Those tissues included animals collected from Dakota and Beltrami County, which is so important with the news that just came out over the last couple of weeks. We're also working with the Board of Animal Health and USDA to secure tissues, environmental samples from depopulated herds. Now, this idea of RT-QuIC surveillance network for the state, I am putting this forth as a question to the state, to the servant farm producers. We believe that this is an opportunity to screen and identify and prevent farm-to-farm spread of these infectious prions. The news last week of the Beltrami County farm is devastating because that's the furthest north in the state. Wild herd across both state and tribal lands in the area could be impacted. This red arrow, what I'm showing, is the long-distance dispersal from Winona County to Beltrami County farm. Okay, we believe that an RT-QuIC-based surveillance network, if used appropriately, could help prevent farm-to-farm spread. So remember, every yellow county on that map is a battlefield where we're fighting a war against this infectious prion. And the Beltrami, now that county is yellow, that is a new front line of this battle. And so what we're saying is that RT-QuIC might be a way that we can prevent that from happening. In order to establish such a network, we have to work closely with the servant farm industry, the Board of Mental Health, the DNR, UMN experts, right, to really think logically and try. No one's done this before with RT-QuIC. No other state has done it with RT-QuIC, but I think that we have an opportunity here to try it out. So we envision a two-year pilot project to examine herd-level surveillance options. We have to work with producers to identify the ideal antemortem approach. No two herds are the same. An elk herd is not the same as a white-tailed deer herd. Antemortem testing using blood might be the best option to go forward. We are also interested in environmental monitoring. So there are options on the table to explore together. Perhaps the biggest news that we'd like to share, and there will be a media announcement from the university today coinciding with this hearing, is that our team has developed a field deployable 24-hour CWD test. Now, if you remember the promise that I made to the committee and the state 2 years ago, it was to help develop and create field deployable tests. I haven't forgot about that promise. I've been working hard every day for the last 2 years to make that happen. So the breakthrough occurred in MinPro Lab last October. We've performed dozens of follow-up experiments. I'll describe a little bit more in greater detail how that breakthrough occurred. Peter Christensen, Mancy Lee, and Gage Rowden, who are students and staff within MinPro Lab, they helped make this test a reality. In February 2021, we learned that we could deploy the prototype. And so we worked closely with the DNR and the USDA to deploy and test this new diagnostic assay down in Rushford. And we went down there the 8th. On the first day after setting up our test, we confirmed that it was working in the field. On day two, we successfully tested DNR tissues. We could detect the positives that the DNR had on site in less than 24 hours. And then days 3 to 6, we performed multiple confirmatory assays. We have filed a provisional patent last Friday following LCCMR and university guidelines. We are publishing, writing a manuscript for publication as we speak. The internal code phrase for the test by the DNR was the flux capacitor. No one's seen what I'm about to show you, and so it's very exciting. What does this look like? It looks like this. We're calling it MinQuIC. So this is a Minnesota QuIC to honor the state for supporting its development. We wanted something that could be relatively easy to perform in the field. We can't think of an easier assay than something that is visual-based and can use light readings to identify positive and negatives. Peter Christensen is shown here on the lower right. It is from Peter Christensen's brain. He is a PhD student in MinPro Lab and in the laboratory of Dr. Sang-Young Oh. And he had a moment of brilliance back in October and came up with this idea. And really, Mancy and Gage Rowden worked together with Peter to make that a reality. His moment of brilliance was the identification of a nanoparticle that combined to these prions in different ways. And CWD negative samples produce a blue, CWD positive samples produce a red, as shown by that picture there. And we can also take light absorbance readings, so you don't have to depend solely on visual cues. And all this can be done with small field deployable equipment. This is a straightforward, highly sensitive, simple test to perform. And again, visual light-based readings. Dr. Wolf, who is epidemiologist, is assisting with the official validation over the coming 4 to 5 months. And we cannot thank the DNR and USDA enough for all their help in Rushford to make this a reality. Moving forward, we're going to continue to work with state, tribal, and national partners to advance CWD research and combat the spread of CWD. MinQuick test, this is one of four new tests that we are developing thanks to the funds from the state. Going into this effort, we didn't put all our eggs in one basket. And it turns out that the avenues that we're exploring, each one of those avenues has strengths and each one is panning out. So we have multiple invention disclosure forms related to the work that we're doing. It's very exciting. Our value system of MinPro, this is really important to me. I talk about value system a lot to the teams, to uphold the tradition of research, service, and outreach associated with the land grant institution. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Larson. We're going to go quickly to two questions, and then we have the DNR. So Representative Eklund and then Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Dr. Larson. Thank you. Exciting news, certainly, on this CWD battle. Can you tell me, Doctor, can these prions be transported in other means like meat or semen or urine when we're looking at moving how this is moving from farm to farm?
Dr. Larson.
Chair Hansen, Rep. Eklund, and members of the committee. Yes, we can detect. We have detected these misfolded prions in meat, in venison. And we have a manuscript that we are publishing on that. And so it can be detected in muscle. We're going to be working with the Department of Agriculture on that aspect of this. We believe that we can help develop essentially a food safety test to prevent those prions from entering the food supply. It can also be detected in urine. We haven't done tests on urine, but others have. It can be detected in semen. Others have looked at semen. And so the reality is any animal that is CWD positive and has been for, you know, a period of 2 or 3 months or longer is actively shedding those prions, right, in its waste. But those prions are being deposited throughout the animal itself.
Thank you, Dr. Larson.
Representative Becker-Finn and Representative Heinzman, I want to get the DNR in and then I'll go to you. They have a very short
question. Hey.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to emphasize what a big deal this is and to thank Dr. Larson and the students and all the other researchers. And really, I want to emphasize, too, as we are looking at our higher ed omnibus bill today and sitting on 2 years worth of LCCMR bills that have not been able to move in the Senate, that this is why we move these bills. This is why we fund these things, and they aren't possible if we don't have these dollars and we don't free them up and send them to folks like you to do this kind of research. And so not a question, just want to emphasize how incredibly important that is and how important it is that we support the University of Minnesota, because you wouldn't be able to get what you need to run the test if we didn't have a large research university like the University of Minnesota. So thank you, Dr. Larson, and please pass that on to your students and team as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to go to Dave Ofelt with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources for a quick presentation, and then we'll go back to Representative Dr. Larson and your team. You're going to stay online, right, for questions. Mr. Ofelt, please.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Members of the committee, my name is Dave Ofelt. I'm the director of the Division of Fish and Wildlife for Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. My co-presenter, Dr. Michelle Carstensen, is unable to be with us here today. I'm going to give you a very brief overview on our plans for chronic wasting disease surveillance for the upcoming fall. This slide shows well, let me back up just one second. The purpose of the surveillance that the department does is to detect and understand how the disease is behaving in the wild, where it is in the wild deer population. The side benefit of that is that it does give hunters some sense of security about whether the deer that they have tested test positive or negative for chronic wasting disease. But the purpose for which we do this is to try to understand what the disease is doing in the wild. So the places that we are going to be looking this fall, you know, starting in the southeast and then working our way to the northwest, we'll be continuing our efforts in southeastern Minnesota, where the disease has been detected in the wild for some time. We have the area just south of the Twin Cities, the Farmington area, where we also detected the disease about a year ago. And because of some work that happened later in the fall, a positive was detected in Rochester. We're going to be doing work pretty much throughout southeastern Minnesota. Differences depending on whether or not the disease is in the wild, you know, whether there'll be a carcass movement restriction and some of those kinds of things. Moving to the north and to the east in the Pine County area, this will be our second year of surveillance in Pine County. We didn't detect any positives there last year, but we will be continuing our surveillance there. We'll be doing surveillance in around Alexandria to the west, deer permit areas or permit area 604 in the Brainerd area. This will hopefully be our last year with that as a control zone. We have not had any positive detection since the one several years ago. So based on our protocols, we're ready to stop sampling there if we do not get detections this fall. And then finally, the big news and very sobering news, is, as we all know, is that the positive farm in north and east of Bemidji. So that will prompt surveillance in that area. This year, we're proposing mandatory opening weekend sampling in our management zones. Those are, again, those areas where the disease has been detected in the wild. And in our surveillance zone. So mandatory opening weekend sampling with voluntary opportunities after that. And in the management zones, we'll also be using the dumpsters that and quarry stations that have really proved quite popular. The west central zone around Alex, last year we tried a little bit different approach, working with taxidermists and meat processors. And we plan to continue that approach in the Alexandria area and all over the state. We'll be working with meat processors and taxidermists to get samples from them. Very briefly, I'll let you look at this. My screen isn't showing, Bob says. I'm so sorry.
We do have the materials on the website.
Okay, my deep apologies, but in the interest of time, I'm going to keep going. The bottom line in terms of cost is that we expect this year's surveillance to cost about $1 million more than last year. About $2.8 million compared to about $1.8 last year. So that's something we're committed to. I know that you have in front of you some opportunities to help fund that. We certainly appreciate that. The final thing, again, in the interest of time, that I'll note is that we've been working since we learned of the positive on the farm near Bemidji. We've been working to develop plans for that area. Got a tentative plan in place and have been working with the tribal communities at Red Lake, Leech Lake, Red Lake, and White Earth to begin to scope out the problem and to to work collaboratively on monitoring in that area.
Okay, we got to cut off here. So.
Yep, that's the end. Again, my apologies for a lack of slides.
If you'd like to try to get the screenshot up while Representative Heinzman is talking, I don't know if he would mind, but Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Larson, you were talking about testing on the landscape. You were also talking about the fact you've tested and found prion in deer meat. I'm assuming that you're going to continue looking, and when you mentioned finding prions on the landscape, does that mean you're also then going to be checking and looking inside plants? So, for example, the neighbor's sweet corn that they're selling on the corner. If you're finding those particles in the meat and so on, and then also in the feces, I'm assuming that it's also potentially in plants and other farm products.
Chair Hansen, Rep. Heitzen, members of the committee. Yes, and you should know that we did secure funding last year through the University of Minnesota to specifically look at this issue. The country of Norway, several years ago, already banned the importation of hay and straw from CWD-positive regions. I believe this is a sleeping giant with respect to commodities. I grew up on a farm, raised corn and soybeans, and I want to make sure that we do great science looking at that issue. So we have our performing tests looking at alfalfa, oats, barley, where we can experimentally raise those plants, expose to prions in the laboratory. I know that other groups like in Wisconsin, they're already doing this and we'll be publishing on it soon. My concern and what I am wanting to work with folks on in the state is looking at the alfalfa industry in the southeastern part of the state. I think that is the, from my perspective and where this disease is moving in the wild herd, we need to take a closer look at that.
Representative Heitzman, quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my last question would be just confirming that the University of Minnesota research team is also now collaborating with anybody else in the country that would like to advance their research.
Dr. Larson.
Oh, yes. The answer is yes. We're collaborating with several other universities, national laboratories. We are part of a large national research network that was facilitated. The formation of it was facilitated by the formation of the USDA. And I'm proud to say that our MinPro team is emerging as a leader in the nation thanks to the support of the state.
Very good.
Representative Becker Finn. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wondering if DNR has put together the numbers yet on what it's going to take to, you know, the Beltrami County is a very, I mean, that's deer country, and a lot of folks have their cabins, and tribal nations do a lot of deer hunting, and just wondering if we have any idea how much this is going to cost now that it's spread through these deer farms.
Mr. Opelt.
Yes, Chair Hansen, Representative Beckerfin. Yes, one of the slides that didn't show it, but as part of the packet, shows area by area what our estimate of the cost, as well as the number of samples that we need to get in order to get a sense of how whether the disease is prevalent in the landscape. So that it's, I think it was $175,000 for that particular surveillance.
Representative Beckerfin.
I think it'd be helpful to just make sure we've got on the record and that folks are taking a look at what this is going to cost. You know, this is the first time that we have tribal land directly impacted to this degree, and it's not good. And I just want to make sure that we have the resources to make sure we're taking care of it.
Members, I've been told I have to have a hard stop at 9 o'clock. We have less than a minute left. I want to thank Dr. Larson and his team. Members from the DNR and from the U of M are available for questions for members. Please feel free to contact the researchers and the DNR. I want to again thank you for the research that we have invested from the people of Minnesota into your work. This is very, very big news. We want to thank you for it, and we want to find ways of making sure we continue to support the research to help us solve problems. We are adjourned.